Hey everyone, this is Jasmine from Jasmine's Astrology, but you can call me Jay. And today I'm going to talk about Taurus season and Mercury retrograde. Anyone looking for the stars turn, you are in the right place. Same astrologer, same astrology forecasts, just with a different name and a different look on your podcast app. I had been kind of going back and forth on whether or not to keep the stars turn as is or to consolidate with what I've been up to over on my YouTube channel. And obviously, I decided to consolidate. So thank you to the stars turn for a good ride, a great ride, in fact. And thank you to everyone who followed me from, you know, Tarot Coven days to the stars turn and who will continue to listen as we transition to Jasmine's astrology. And if you've been watching the YouTube videos, thank you for that as well. I really appreciate the support over there. I will continue to do those. And then what I'm thinking is that I'll start to release the audio versions here on the podcast feed. But if you're, you know, if you're a more visual type person, there's still going to be the video option over on YouTube. But just trying to bring everybody all the content on all the platforms. All right, with all that business out of the way, thank you everybody for being here. As always, it is a pleasure to be in your little ear holes. I hope you've gotten all the power-ups and energy boosters and all that good stuff from Aries season and the Jupiter Kazemi in Aries. I don't know. What has this Aries season been everything that you thought it would be? I think it's been a really different kind of Aries season, to be perfectly honest. So it'll be interesting to see what Taurus season is like. But before we do talk about Taurus season, I think I forgot to include the fact that we have a solar eclipse in Aries during Aries season, like sort of right before Taurus season begins. I think I forgot to include that in the previous episode, but I do have a video for that up on my YouTube. I won't be putting the audio here just because it was before I decided to sort of consolidate everything. So there will be a link in the show notes to check out that video if you are listening to this sort of in time to catch some insight on the eclipse. All right, now on to Taurus season. So Taurus season is happening this year from April 20th to May 21st. First order of business is that we are going to have a Mercury retrograde, which is happening from April 21st until May 14th. And I'm actually going to talk about that more later in this episode, so we'll move on for now. On April 24th, the sun will conjunct the North Node. This marks the halfway point of eclipse season. An eclipse season essentially happens once the sun is within about an 18-degree range of either of the nodes, then eclipse season begins. And once it's 18 degrees away, then it ends. And so for this eclipse season, we're looking at like early April to early May, so like approximately 5 weeks or so. And the sun conjunct the North Node, like I said, that's the halfway point. And it's really this, you know, in Taurus, it's this like craving for accumulation. Taurus is very physical and tangible and material type of sign. It's an earth sign. And I feel like this is a day that is maybe, it's like it's worth it to get outside on a day like this because we are craving something. And I think we can maybe fill that space with time spent in nature or eating really good food, even drinking really good wine, watch for overindulgences. But the other thing is to really reflect on our participation in like consumption culture, because the North Node wants us to especially in Taurus, it's like this craving to accumulate. And again, with Taurus being that very physical, material sign. So thinking about, you know, what are we consuming? Why are we consuming? How much are we consuming? All that sort of thing. On April 29th, Mars will sextile Uranus. And I'm bringing this up because Uranus is in Taurus. So I feel like it has kind of a direct connection to Taurus season in a way. And Mars sextile Uranus, this is a little volatile, a little explosive. You definitely want to get your energy out before you boil over and come for the wrong person. Be open to trying new things and just like ditch whatever is really boring you, because that's going to feed into a kind of a restless energy and maybe really aggravate those feelings of like needing to do something. On May 1st, Pluto will begin its retrograde cycle. This is totally normal. Pluto is retrograde once a year, and it's got some unfinished business in Capricorn, so it's heading back to take care of all of that. We got our little sneak peek of Pluto in Aquarius, and now it's like, all right, I got to go back and wrap up all this shit in Capricorn. Now that everybody knows what's coming for them in this 20-year cycle, or, you know, a little sliver of it, I got to go back and I got to deal with all this stuff. So if you have planets and points at the end of Capricorn, like 28, 29 degrees, you've also got some unfinished business in that area. On May 5th, we will have our second eclipse in eclipse season. This one is the lunar eclipse in Scorpio. This is actually the last eclipse in the sign of Scorpio for this nodal transit through Taurus and Scorpio. We will have one more lunar eclipse in Taurus in late October, but then that'll be it for the entire Taurus-Scorpio eclipse cycle. So this lunar eclipse in Scorpio maybe feels like the beginning of the end of something in regards to this story that's been unfolding in the Taurus-Scorpio part of your chart. And honestly, because the eclipse will happen near the South Node, it could just be a full-on ending of something, you know, in terms of like the Scorpio half of this story. And I'll probably talk more about this eclipse in an upcoming video slash episode. So yeah, stay tuned. Then on May 7th, Venus will move into Cancer. This is such a lovely placement. I love Venus in Cancer. This will probably offer a really nice bit of tenderness and support for Taurus season. There's nothing like difficult about Venus being in Gemini, but once Venus moves into Cancer, it can see the sun, like Cancer and Taurus form an aspectual relationship. So Venus is just better set up to support her guest, you know, her guest being the sun in Taurus. And she also has triplicity rulership in Cancer. So she has just sort of better advantages and better access when she's in Cancer. And Venus in Cancer is a chance to nourish that which is essential to our survival. So like our bodies and our closest relationships, which could be family, especially with Cancer in the mix, but not always. And that could be blood family. It could be found family, but just those like really close, tight bonds. You know, and Gemini, Venus in Gemini was really looking for connection through social interaction. But in Cancer, Venus is looking to connect through meaningful emotional bonds. So we're moving from like being totally interested in small talk with like a lot of people to like wanting to have those late night chats with our closest pals. On May 16th, Jupiter will move into Taurus. This is a big deal. Of course, we have Mercury retrograde and eclipse season, but those things happen every year, multiple times. This is a once in every 12 years or so transit. So it's a big deal. And I think this is also going to add to the softness and the support of Venus in Cancer, which is helping with the sun in Taurus. Since not only will Jupiter now also be in a Venus-ruled sign and in a position where it can see its host planet, right? Again, like Cancer and Taurus forming that sextile relationship. But Jupiter is also exalted in Cancer. So the flow between Jupiter and Venus in this position is just really lovely and really beneficial for those areas of the chart. And we will still be sort of dealing with eclipse season and just coming out of Mercury retrograde at that point, but we will have tons of time to settle into Jupiter in Taurus. On May 19th, we will have a Taurus new moon. This new moon looks really nice. It's the first one that's not an eclipse in this sign for quite some time now, which is great. The moon is exalted in Taurus, so that's already a plus. The ruler, Venus, is in Cancer, which means, you know, again, the moon and Venus can see each other. But not only that, they're in what's called mutual reception because the moon is in Venus's sign and Venus is in the moon sign. So it's just a really lovely flow of energies. The sun and the moon at the time of the new moon will be sextile Neptune in Pisces, which I think brings some really compassionate and creative and tender vibes. I think this new moon is going to be so fucking nice. Like, I'm so excited for this new moon. We will be out of eclipse season. We will be out of Mercury retrograde. Retro shade, I believe, will still be on. But like, whatever. That's not the worst part of it. So this is going to be lovely. Super looking forward to the Taurus new moon. On May 20th, Mars will move into Leo. This is also fantastic news. You know what? Taurus season's going to be great apart from eclipse season and Mercury retrograde. Like, if we can just like deal with that part of our chart, we're going to get some blessings and some lovely tenderness in a lot of other areas. Yeah, Mars moving into Leo. This, like, I cannot wait. Mars will finally be in good condition, which it hasn't been since June of 2022. So I'll definitely have a video and an episode on this. I mean, if you are a Scorpio or an Aries rising, or if Mars, if you're working with Time Lords and Mars is your Time Lord, I mean, this is just going to be such a fucking relief to have Mars in better condition. So May 20th, we're almost there. All right, let's chat about Taurus energy in general. Taurus really tends to slow down the pace. You know, we have this like fast-paced energy of Aries season. And this is like, okay, we did the hustle, we were bold, we were courageous, and we went for things that we wanted. Now we get to slow down. Now we get to really settle into some of those new routines we created or the exciting projects we started. We get to feel into them and start to embody the dreams that we are making a reality. We get to bring form to that which we are creating. Taurus is a fixed earth sign. So it's very stable, very steady, very solid. It's sustainable and enduring. It's a rock. It's a beautiful rock, but it's a rock. It's a time of being in the moment, of practicing presence and remembering to always come back to the body. Now, that very solid nature is where Taurus gets its reputation for being stubborn and even a little boring. Like, when Taurus finds something it likes, it's usually happy to stick with that, and it doesn't really feel the need to venture too far outside of that enjoyment. Now, that could also be seen as loyalty in some situations. I guess it really depends on, well, the situation and the people involved. So we'll just want to be aware of this. And then if we find ourselves feeling a little too rigid in our thinking or clinging to something so tightly, you know, can we like reassess, maybe loosen the grip a little bit? It's good to find things you like, and it's good to be consistent about some things, but not to the point where we're sort of blocked off and unable to take in anything new. And as I mentioned, the stubborn angle, it can be harder to get moving with a lot of Taurus in the mix. And it's not that we're like doomed to just sit around for a month, although honestly, that doesn't sound too bad, right? But just that we're going to need more time to get ready to move. Like, we're going to need to feel comfortable before moving forward. Now, that may be frustrating for those of us who prefer the act now, think later approach of Aries, but it'll be really great for anybody who prefers a more consistent style of movement. And this energy is really conducive for taking, like I said, all of those exciting new projects and big, bold moves that we made in Aries season, for taking those and like making them sustainable, making them stable, making them actually come into being. Now, it's a little cliche, sure, but Taurus season really is about stopping to smell the roses. It's about making space for and embracing the physical, tactile, and sensual pleasures. we can really sink into the way a song moves through us, the way a bite of our favorite food can be so deeply satisfying, the contentment that a massage from a loved one can bring. You know, we'll really just want to be in the moment with all of those pleasant and joyful sights, sounds, touch, tastes, and smells. Now, the way you can really personalize Taurus season is to look at the house that Taurus corresponds with in your own chart. So for some people, Taurus will be all about home and family and living situation if you have a Taurus fourth house. So it's going to be about all of those things that I already mentioned, but within the realm of home, family, living situation. For some people who maybe have Taurus on the 12th house, this is going to be a quieter season, a time of solitude, a time of feeling a little cocoony. And then for others, you know, Taurus season will be about higher education, traveling, and or like spiritual pursuits. And that's if you have a Taurus 9th house. For most of us, though, we will feel called to spend more time in nature, to connect with the senses, to have a plan, to find steadiness and routine, and to follow a more internally tuned rhythm rather than trying to match whatever is happening externally. It's kind of a time when we can regulate in terms of the body. And we get to do that again once we hit Cancer season on a more emotional level, but this is a real like physical shell, what's happening in our bodies, can regulate maybe digestion, sleep, all that kind of stuff. Now, the North Node and Uranus are still in Taurus, and so they do bring some instability and inconsistency to that area of life, but this isn't our first go-round with this particular combination. And Uranus and the North Node are kind of doing their thing in Taurus all year. All Taurus season does is bring a bit of a spotlight. Now, it might be the case that we feel like we were better able to manage these little guests in Taurus while the spotlight wasn't there, because the spotlight kind of forces us to really look at what's been happening. But that's kind of just backburnering stuff, right? You know, maybe the sun's light and warmth coming into Taurus is how we get some clarity on whatever's been sort of in flux or a little chaotic, and we're better able to navigate those things now that there's some light shining on it. While in Taurus, the sun will also be meeting up with Saturn in Pisces and Pluto in Aquarius, both of which are still very early doors in their current transits, which potentially offers us some new information about our Taurus house topics and Taurus energy in general. We're maybe discovering new ways of experiencing pleasure and leisure, or we have a new perspective on what those things even mean to us. All right, that's Taurus season. Now let's shift gears and talk about Mercury retrograde. So this Mercury retrograde, the pre-retrograde shadow period started on April 7th and it will go until April 21st. And that started at 5 degrees of Taurus and goes until 15 degrees of Taurus. So 15 degrees of Taurus is the retrograde degree, and Mercury will station retrograde on April 21st, and then it will move back through Taurus until it gets to 5 degrees, and then will station direct on May 14th. And then from May 15th until the 31st, it'll move back from 5 degrees to 15 degrees, and that will be the post-retrograde shadow. So again, pre-shadow period, April 7th to 21st. Retrograde is April 21st to May 14th, and the post-shadow is May 14th, 15th until May 31st. So we're basically looking at like 2 months with Mercury not in super great condition. So this will be especially impactful if you have a Gemini or Virgo ascendant or midheaven. And that's always going to be the case, because with Mercury ruling those things, it's just more potent for you. Or if you're working with any sort of annual perfections or Time Lord systems and Mercury happens to be your Time Lord, it's going to be impactful for you as well. I can tell you that last year, I was in a Mercury ruled year and the Mercury retrogrades were very, very potent. Taurus ascendant or midheaven could also feel this a bit more potently than usual, just because it is happening in your first house or hitting that like critical degree of your career and public life. Also, if you've got planets or points anywhere from 5 to 15 degrees of Taurus, Mercury will trigger these 3 times throughout the retrograde and the retrograde. And in very Mercury retrograde fashion, I am going to rewind and talk about the fact that I did not bring up a tarot card in this episode, and that is because it's no longer the Stars Turn, Cosmos, and Cards, so I have phased out the tarot portion of the show. My apologies if that is a disappointment to anybody. Totally holding space for that disappointment, and hopefully it's not a total deal breaker. It feels like, my practice is just, it's very astrology based now, and tarot doesn't feel, it just doesn't feel like the thing that I really want to focus on anymore. So I do apologize for that. I did mean to mention it in the intro. Forgive me. And I should say the reason I'm not talking about a new moon like I usually would is because technically the new moon, like we had 2 new moons in Aries, and the Taurus new moon won't be until sort of close to the end of Taurus season. So I will talk about it, just not in this episode. All right. So with that rewind in mind, retrogrades. You know, all the typical retrograde stuff applies to this retrograde. It's a time to revisit, rethink, redo, reassess, reflect, revise, reiterate, and even relax and rejuvenate. I think especially because it's happening in Taurus that relax and rejuvenate are really important. It's a time of slowing down, as is Taurus season. It's a time to double and triple check everything. You want to try to avoid signing any big contracts or making any really big and like sort of long-lasting decisions. Retrogrades, is like a Mercury retrograde, makes things a little unclear. We just don't have all the facts, either because we can't access them right now or because they're actually part of something that's sort of still unfolding and coming into being. So we couldn't possibly have all of the information that we need. Retrogrades can bring delays. Some are just temporary, but delays nonetheless. And retrogrades are always a really good time to go back over something or to wrap something up that's already underway. It's not necessarily a great time for launching into anything new. Take it from me, I have started enough projects during a Mercury retrograde and thought at first, like, no, it'll be fine. Like, this is actually going pretty well. And I can tell you right now, none of those projects have lasted. None of them have made it through the long haul. And I don't necessarily regret starting those projects during a retrograde, but, you know, if I'd followed my own advice, I do think things would be a lot different right now. So, you know, if you want something to last, don't do it. Just wait. And I don't fuck around anymore with this. Like, I don't launch anything new. I don't make any big decisions or commitments. I don't plan travel arrangements. I don't upgrade my technology. That's another story, is like the phone that I have right now was upgraded during a Mercury retrograde. I didn't have any choice. That was kind of just what was offered to me by, you know, the phone company that I'm with. And I will tell you that, like, it works fine, but it's also got its own quirks, and it has since day one. So if you can avoid it, that's ideal. But as I mentioned, obviously, sometimes we just don't have a choice. Like, we have to make a decision. We have to move forward with something. So don't stress about those things, you know, but wherever possible, just hold back, just wait. You won't miss out on something that's truly meant for you. That's just not, I personally just don't think that's possible. Now, this specific retrograde is happening in Taurus. So to me, this really speaks about embodying knowledge. Like, instead of looking to external sources for information, or even just like trying to memorize a bunch of information and data and details, I think this is a time to really concentrate and focus on, like, how do we use our internal wisdom to guide us? How can we take things that we learn and really integrate them? It's a bit like when you're, you know, learning something, and at first you're relying on the books and the teachers and the notes and all that, and that's totally normal. And then you start practicing the thing, and it becomes part of you. you begin to internalize and integrate and embody it, and it's like a second nature. That's sort of what I feel we can really take advantage of during this retrograde, is figuring out ways to integrate and embody wisdom. It's a good time to reflect on Taurus themes in general. So everything we talked about, you know, when I talked about Taurus season, the sensory pleasures, relaxation, stability, practicing presence, being in nature, are some of these things maybe feeling outdated or no longer sustainable within your life, or maybe not even truly meaningful? How do you switch that up? How do you, you know, revise those things? And again, you can personalize this further by looking at where Taurus is in your chart, right? So you might be revisiting or rethinking certain conversations or interactions or just general happenings that have been going on in that area of life. For example, let's say Taurus is your seventh house. Maybe there's some relationships that require your attention, and a conversation that you had will be revisited, or a type of behavior that you have in relationships could use some reconsideration, some reconfiguring. Or if Taurus is your sixth house, then maybe something to do with your health needs a second look, or your day-to-day routines at work need some readjusting in some way. At the time of the retrograde, like at the time of the station retrograde, Mercury will be just a few degrees away from Uranus. And so this sort of feels like we're so close to some sort of breakthrough, or we're feeling really curious about taking a new path forward. And yet we can't quite get there. It's just a little bit out of reach. And something from the past couple of weeks needs our attention first before we can fully get there. So Mercury and Uranus will meet up at some point after the retrograde, I believe in early June. And so we will finally find that breakthrough, but we've got work to do before we can fully attain it. On May 1st, we'll have the Kazemi, so Mercury conjunct the Sun. And this is typically a time that brings a short little respite from the retrograde and provides some kind of insight into what's been going on. We get maybe a clue or a little bit of clarity as to what the Mercury retrograde story has been all about for us. And this does mark the halfway point of the retrograde cycle and sort of symbolizes that we're beginning to make our way out of the woods. Now, going back to the time of the retrograde station, just a few days after the retrograde station on April 23rd, but Mercury will still be at that 15-degree mark, and it's going to make a sextile with Mars in Cancer. Now, this is important because it's the second of two sextiles with Mars in Cancer, and even though it's happening at different degrees, the revisiting aspect of it all fits in nicely with the retrograde vibes, but also because it's happening at that retrograde degree and so close to the station, it does feel like this sextile with Mars is kind of a part of the retrograde story. And it does feel a little unstable and unsteady and not great for long-term stuff. I mean, both Mars and Mercury are not really long-term oriented planets. And we might be feeling a little bit of frustration around decision-making. Already knowing that this is the second of two sextiles, it's like we are revisiting things that happened earlier in the month. We're revisiting things that we were thinking about, decisions that we were making, paths that we were taking. And Mercury Mars makes for a really active mental energy. But it's also a very strategic energy. So using this time to make the plan and map things out, do the research, ask the questions, look at the details, like put the energy into the strategy and the strategizing, and then we can just take the action later once Mercury is free of the retrograde. This Mercury Mars sextile might also be about contemplating some pretty deep feelings, maybe ruminating on some past wounds with Mars in Cancer. We may feel like we really need to express something, but we just want to watch out for like sharp words and the potential to be a little abrasive. We might experience some really sensitive, tender thoughts that make us say something we might regret because we're a little defensive. Mars and Cancer can be a little defensive. And then you throw Mercury retrograde in the mix and it's like, oop, verbal vomit of shit we didn't mean to say. So just watch out for that. Now, because this is a sextile, the energy overall is very cooperative. So hopefully we can, you know, like I said, channel that like mental energy into the strategy, into the plan, into just like even getting the words out, getting the feelings out. But if you need to, doing it alone first, that way it's like not directed at somebody and we can say things out loud in the company of ourselves and not regret them later in the same way that we might regret saying them to somebody's face. But yeah, the sextile overall energy is cooperative. It is positive. But the thing is, you know, we've got one planet retrograde and one planet in the sign of their fall. So there's just these factors that are working against that. And we just need to know that going into it. Now, one more point I'll say is that the ruler of this retrograde, like the ruler of Mercury while it's in Taurus, is Venus. And she'll be in Gemini for part of the retrograde. And while she's in Gemini, Mercury and Venus will be exchanging signs. Some people might call it a mutual reception. I tend to think that reception has to involve some sort of aspectual relationship. So if that's beyond your understanding of astrology, don't worry about it. You're not missing anything. But what I want to say is that while Venus is in Gemini, there is still an exchanging of signs, Venus being in Mercury's sign, Mercury being in Venus's sign. So I do think that that's, you know, there is something there. There is a flow between the planets. So I do think that maybe helps to mitigate a little bit of the weakness that Mercury is feeling. Don't get me wrong, it's still a retrograde. Treat it like a retrograde, but it might just be a little bit softer. Although I think things very much improve once Venus moves into Cancer, because like I said earlier, Venus will be able to see Mercury. Venus has better dignity in Cancer versus in Gemini where it has none. And, you know, Venus being in Cancer will mean that we're also past the halfway point by then. So things will be really easing up and really softening. All right. I know that was a ton of information, but it's all here to revisit whenever you need. And I'm going to put some timestamps in the show notes so you can kind of navigate to the points of the episode where you need to revisit or would like to revisit or re-listen to. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being you and for listening to and supporting my work. I am super grateful. You can come and hang out with me on Instagram at Jasmine's Astrology. Check out my website for consultations and other offerings, jasminesastrology.com. And I'll be back for more astrology. But until we meet again, I'll catch you in the cosmos.